Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, May the 21st, the 133rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is current Arcata City Manager and former Arcata Police Chief, Randy Mendoza.
Boy, I haven't heard that name and title for quite a long time.
You haven't heard your name lately?
No, I haven't heard the titles for a long time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you will this time, because we're going to talk a little bit about how the two jobs interrelate to one another, and we'll try to get a little bit of perspective on some of the things that are going on in Arcata with that as a backdrop.
I'll give it my best.
I will too when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's get one of these leadership ones instead of the golf.
I don't have time for golf.
Oh, poor baby.
You mean
because it turns into an all-day adventure looking for the ball in the woods?
Well, no, because I have this demanding public job and two kids.
Not necessarily in that order.
Oh, but I did find two golf balls on a river garbage thing. I did this last weekend in the Rogue River. So I did find two golf balls.
Golf balls don't float, you know.
Well, they were there, so we picked them up with all the other things in our...
Somebody corked their golf ball.
Somebody did. If that golf ball could only tell its story, who knows where it came from.
Oh, let's see. Our quote this afternoon comes from Albert Einstein.
That's a good one.
All right, well... Our quote, setting an example is not the main means of influencing another. It is the only means.
That's very good.
You like that one, huh?
Yes, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. You can quote it in your next council meeting then. And give attribution to Albert, not to me.
Yes. Well, you quoted it most recently, though, and it's on your radio.
All that means is I can read, sort of.
That's a good one. I like that.
All right.
That's actually better than most of your...
lame quotes? Fine. Okay. We're off on another solid footing.
It's supposed to be a compliment.
Yeah. I bet you it was.
Somewhere.
Took a very nasty turn somewhere along the way. Randy, how much was being police chief helped you out in your current capacity as city manager?
Well, I'd say it's helped a lot because, you know, when I went to police chief school, as they call it, it's the executive development course, but the state calls it, but it's really police chief school. You know, they say that you should be prepared to be acting city manager because, you know, police chiefs are organized and you're used to organizing running a tight ship and so it's interesting. I even participated in a conference in Pasadena, at a police chief conference with other police chiefs who were acting city managers. And we had it was very interesting because there were acting police chiefs have been acting city managers from cities the size of Long Beach down to Arcata, and even cities smaller than Arcata. So it's very common for police chiefs to be asked to be city managers.
How about for police chiefs to become city managers?
It's becoming more and more regular, actually. Roy Wasden, a friend of mine, he was the police chief in Modesto. About the same time, we were serving together on a California Police Chief Association panel or committee, and Roy became the city manager of Turlock at this about the same time I became a city manager in Arcata. And I met two or three others and that had also become city managers. So, you know, it's an organization. It's very similar. You know, police chiefs spend a lot of a good deal of the time running the organization, keeping the organization running well, and that's pretty much what city managers do, with the exception that I now work for five elected officials, and when I was a police chief, I worked for a city manager.
Dodging bullets has a different connotation as a city manager than it does as a police chief.
So to speak, yeah. The bullets come in from different directions, but being with the same organization is kind of interesting. Roy Wasden, you know, my friend, went to a different organization, so I think it
now
is...
Going from Modesto to Turlock, is it an upgrade?
Well, for him, I think it was. I haven't talked with him in a while, so last I talked to him, he enjoyed it.
As you look at the transition from police chief into city manager, how long did it take before you were able to either be neutral with favoritism or sympathies?
Well, that's a good question because that's something you have to constantly analyze. I was an acting or interim police chief for a year and a half and a city manager both at the same time. It went on for quite a long time, so I did actually both jobs. I really tried hard from the beginning to be neutral because I'm kind of a mission-oriented person. So I feel, you know, whatever the mission is now, I need to do my best to fulfill that. And
but you must have had sympathies just by knowing more of the intricacies of one department over another.
Yeah, I would actually say it'd be interesting to hear what others, what the staff would say, but there's probably positives and negatives on both sides. You know, the police chief, Tom Chapman, would probably say I probably know too much and probably ask too many questions. And perhaps the public works director might think that maybe I don't know enough and don't ask enough questions. So I've actually been doing this for about 5 years now, believe it or not. So I think I have a pretty good grasp of what all the departments are doing.
Is that full time or part time?
Full time.
Five.
Yeah, pretty much full time.
It's been six and a half years.
Well, let's see. It's 2008.
Is that when Ellis left?
No. I followed Michael Hackett.
Keith and then
Michael. Right, and then Michael.
Boy, do I sound like I know what I'm talking about. Quick, time for a break. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, city manager has its own language. I would imagine that policing probably has as much as any other, well, maybe public works anymore, its own jargon also.
Oh, definitely.
To get from one to the other, are there a lot of abilities to use the same skill set for language and communication? Or did you pretty much have to go over, plug your finger into the socket, give, you know, self-imposed lobotomy and start all over again using terminology of city manager rather than as police chief?
Well, for the terms, I pretty much had to put my finger in the socket because there are so many different there's equal amount of acronyms in the city manager job as there is in the police chief job. And it's really amazing. At one time I used to think I'd write them all down, you know, just to count them, how many there were. Everything from CEQA to BNPs and INI and all those things, you know, in the city manager world. And in the police world, they actually use a lot of code sections, you know, for the language too. So, you talk about a 211, that would be a robbery, you know, for instance. So we talked in code a lot, you know, and it's usually the penal code sections or the health and safety code sections, for instance.
Shortcuts in both. So as you communicate with other department heads within the city, do you try to understand their jargon? Or do you do what I do and just scream time out and say English and have everybody start to, you know, talk in just regular guy talk?
Well, no, I think for about the first year I asked them to explain it, but now I picked it up. I mean, it's every day. I think I can belly up to the bar and throw out the acronyms as well as the others now.
But in public settings, one of the things I've found is it's tough to break those habits.
Yes. And I do find myself stepping in on occasion, asking staff to explain things in lay people's terms, because that is very true. We just get so busy doing that you just forget about it. And you really, part of my job, you know, is when we go to a council meeting, for instance, is that we try to make sure that the public, you know, gets the right information and that we can convey that to them accurately. So sometimes I find myself asking them to repeat that or to ask or to kind of explain that acronym, please, for the folks at home.
Yeah, for those of us outside the shell.
Well, you're dealing with professionals, and state agencies are very good at, you know, dealing with acronyms.
They don't care.
They just do.
If you don't know the acronym, they'll run you over. I mean, I see that almost as an opportunity for a power shift.
You know, I don't think that it's, my sense is that I don't think that it's to try to deceive people. I think it's because the documents are so long and so complex that you just, it's just a way to kind of shorten things up to get through them.
Well, yeah, it might not be deception, but if I know what I'm talking about and you have to ask me, then the relationship shifts.
Exactly.
And one knows, and the other knows that they're subservient to the other because they don't have that same immediate knowledge.
Well, and I think it's perhaps any type of career, but vocation, but particularly for public employees, it's very important to remember who we're working for and who we're trying to serve. And it's very important that those folks understand what we're doing and what we're saying.
Does that even include closed session? I say it only halfway tongue-in-cheek on that one.
Yes. You know, the Brown Act is very specific as to what you can talk about in closed session and what you can't talk about in closed session.
The attitude, the philosophy that regardless of where we are, we need to remember who, that there's a taxpayer in here.
Yes.
That there is a fiduciary responsibility to the community, mm-hmm. whether the community is state money, federal money, or local money, that kind of, can you stuff that one into the system? Can you make it permeate and saturate?
Well, speaking only for my city, but, you know, and having been part of numerous closed sessions now, there is always a There's always an end to it. So there's always a time to report out to the public. And when that time comes, we do sit down and do our best to make it clear to explain to the people what happened and what the outcome was.
And the financial impact thereof.
But sometimes there's months down the road too, you know, so... But when those time when that time
what
comes,
what are you talking about?
We designate. I often ask, you know, which council member or mayor would want to, you know, wants to be available for the media to answer the questions, and they always step up and do it.
Speaking of stepping up and lawsuits, any comments on the freedom of information request that the county got? Is the city of Arcata going to adopt a similar standard? Do you guys already have a similar standard?
Well. It's. I don't want to be technical. You're sitting there being proud of yourself, but actually, the Freedom of Information Act is for federal statutes. In California, it's the public, that's the records, public records.
Public records, yeah.
The California Public Records Act. So,
okay.
So we.
So you got me on the split.
So
here.
I got you on that one.
Big but, deal.
So the PRA is what Public Records Act.
The attitude. The. Admission, the discovery, if you will, that the county had based on the lawsuit in L.A., is that going to change things for Arcata?
No, not that I can tell, because we really spend, I mean, I'm actually the city clerk. You know, that's one of my titles. I have a deputy, but and Bridget Dory, our deputy, does most of the heavy lifting. But my one of my official titles is the city clerk, and a good part of our office spends a lot of time with public records requests, and in some cases it takes hours and hours and hours, and it's kind of frustrating from the standpoint of it takes away our ability to serve other people, especially when we get some of these repeating, you know, requests or requests that just take
a
lot of time.
One. Hold on, we'll be back. Okay. KINS News and Information Time. We'll have the second half of the thought. It's 3:30.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam, or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon after that scintillating news update with Randy Mendoza, former police chief, current city manager in Arcata. Randy, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the policy and the processes that you guys go through if there's a request for information, non-personnel related, from the city, and that a lot of times you seem to be getting the same requests from the same people or the same requests from different people, but spinning wheels rather than getting progress.
Well, I don't know. It's up to the folks that make the request as to whether it's spinning their wheels or not. We really take it very seriously, and we give as much information as is asked and that we're able to give. And in most cases, it's all the information. It's just, you know, sometimes when we get case requests for information that is in our storage, for instance, you know, you have to send somebody out to go through bankers' boxes in the storage unit. That takes a long time, and that's what we're there for. And our staff takes that very seriously and works really hard at it. I do kind of grumble to myself sometimes because if they're really huge requests, it does affect our ability to serve the rest of the public.
That's what I was wondering. Your staffing.
Yeah, we don't have extra staff for it, so.
You're taking from something to do that.
I've come in and found my staff working on public records requests sometimes 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, you know, our managers. I mean, they work really hard, and there's a time frame there. You have to at least respond within 10 days after receiving the request. It's not...
Respond or fulfill?
Respond. You have to say that whether you're going to be able, you know, what you have to at least respond, but you also have to see if you have the information, and you have to gather the information. As we get more and more automated, I think it's going to be easier. But in some, you know, some recent requests were things that were still in the banker's boxes before we had it, you know, digitized. So those are really time consuming.
Is there any way to get like an intern or something and have them put them in?
No, I think they have. It has to be somebody that understands records and that knows where to go. I mean, because I would not want an intern to make a mistake, because we have a duty to get the information that was requested.
You wouldn't want me to do it, but somebody who would be knowledgeable.
Well, are you volunteering to be an intern?
I'm volunteering to be knowledgeable.
Well, you
are.
I'm
not sure if I can do the job.
I bet you could.
This one really didn't come out right.
No, it's an important part. We want to do it right, and it's not. I think you need somebody that's trained. You know, we need a trained member of our staff to get to mine the information, and to disseminate it.
What's the weirdest request you've had in your 5+ years as city manager?
The weirdest request that I have had
for information.
Well, I think I one comes to mind. They wanted some information, but it actually was a different city, and I was kind of
how long did that take for you to figure that one out?
It wasn't too long, but I was relieved that it involved another city and not mine.
That was an Arcadia instead of Arcata?
We get those too. Yes,
I would imagine.
Yes, we get their mail, so that's always. It was kind of a relief. I don't remember what the issue was, but it wasn't pleasant. I do remember that, so I'm glad. Oh, gosh, we dodged the bullet on that one.
Started out with pronouns and went straight downhill from there, huh? What is the biggest surprise that you ran into transitioning from police chief to city manager?
The biggest surprise? I think it's the aha moments. It's like, you know, you think, you know, having worked in Arcata for as many years as I had, and I know my way around pretty well, but you really never really know the job until you are in it. You know, I've worked with 5 city managers, but very closely in most cases. But, you know, there's been times that, oh, now I know why certain such and such would be yelling or... for instance, or now I know why they got frustrated, because I would say that it's the aha moments is what I call them. And
when they struck?
It's like, oh, yeah, I knew these times would come, so you just work through them.
You're being philosophical about it then.
You have to be. Because people work hard, and, you know, it's usually something, you know, that somebody didn't take as much time as they should to work on something, but... You know, as in most cases, people are juggling huge loads of work and their plates are overflowing. And if they take a shortcut sometimes and it doesn't work out, then it ends up in my office and then I have to help them fix it.
And then you go, aha.
So I wish that didn't happen. But maybe it's city manager job security, because, you know, maybe they wouldn't need a city manager to untangle things if things didn't get tangled now and then.
Perhaps. When you consider what's good training ground for being a manager, is being a department head more better than being an assistant city manager?
I don't think so.
Is the inverse true?
I think it depends on the person. I think it depends upon their knowledge. And I think that you could be a city manager. Well, if a police chief could be a city manager, I think a department head could be a city manager. I think a deputy director could be a city manager.
But not a radio guy.
A radio guy? Well, maybe. It depends on how well you run your organization. you'd have to be a good bureaucrat. You know, you have to, because the thing is, you own your, this is the difference. You own your company. You can pretty much make your own decisions. You know, when you're a public employee and then you're in public employment management, you have to go through this collaborative process to reach your decisions. And it takes a long time, and it really frustrates people, especially, you know, from the private sector, because it just seems like it takes so long. But you have, basically, I have 18,000 stockholders in our corporation, and, you know, board of directors would be the city council, and our stockholders are very particular in how they want their company ran.
And they don't always read the last minutes of the last board meeting.
No, but they probably shouldn't have to. It's our job to be informative and to be accessible and explain it to them. I mean, it's hard for anybody to
give them
the
white paper on each meeting.
Well, sometimes we do. Well, what?
You know, Randy did a great job presenting And Randy wrote a nice review of Randy.
Well, are you suggesting maybe we have a blog? Maybe we should blog.
No, I'm saying that the
Twitter
clerk reviewing the actions of the manager.
Oh,
would.
but I'm the clerk. So
you see,
the clerk is the manager.
And you sign on both, saying thank you very much.
Yeah,
it could work.
Maybe I should get a clerk hat. And then I could keep track of my duties better if I put on the different hats.
Or at least a clerk pocket protector.
Oh, you know, if my wife always told me if I wore a pocket protector, she'd leave me. So I'm not allowed.
Oh, maybe not. Just wear the white socks.
Right. As you look down to see what color my socks were.
I was checking. Yes, he's wearing black today. Or they're really bad white from the weekend. One or the other. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza from the city of Arcata. Randy, with your knowledge as manager, with your knowledge as police chief, when you get into a situation similar to what happened this past weekend when there's a homicide, or it doesn't even have to be like this weekend, it could be any kind of a criminal police action. You know what was, you know what is. When you come at it from a city manager's perspective, is it tempting to micromanage?
No. Because my experience being on the other side, I'm investigating homicides myself on many occasions throughout my career. I know that especially in a homicide case, the leads are perishable, and you don't have time to stop and explain to a city manager, and often you don't have time to stop and explain to the chief, because you have to keep on that trail and you have to build that case. These are literally life and death situations, so the city manager and the chief also has to trust their personnel.
When to get out of the way then.
Right. So in this case, I said, I got the notification and I said, thanks for letting me know. Let me know if I can be of any assistance. And that was my communication with the police department over the weekend.
I would think that's probably be refreshing. Because unless I would suggest you're a senior city manager, the temptation probably is to want to jump in, to want to help out, to want to know what's going, as you said, mucking things up.
Yeah, but my training in this area is the primary goal is to make that case as tight and as strong as possible. And I know from experience that if I get in and detract from the investigators that I could be partially responsible for diluting that. So my part is to stay out of it at this point.
Same thing with Public Works when they're dealing with, let's say, a big water project?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I might go and stand near the hole and while they're digging and ask, but although those are not necessarily life and death, perishable as a homicide investigation. Homicide cases are very special in that you only have once to prosecute somebody. You know, you have one bite of the apple, and there's no statute of limitations, and you have to get it right. And if you don't, you could have a murderer walking the streets, and it's deadly serious. And I wouldn't want to be a part of of causing an investigation not being the best it can possibly be.
Do most city managers appreciate that?
I don't know that I've ever. I think in the city, some cases, city managers that I've encountered over the years, I think they may not understand that. I don't know that you would understand that unless you've been a homicide investigator.
Same thing I would think would apply though to fire.
That'd be very good. Exactly. That would be a very good corollary. You know, the incident commander at a fire scene really needs to focus on making sure that the roof isn't going to cave in on the team over here that's doing the interior attack. They don't really have time to stop and brief the city manager. I think that would be another good example with similar consequences.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
Glad you enjoyed your weekend on the river.
It was a great weekend on the river.
Floating golf balls. We still got to pay attention to those things, though. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.